Thanks for joining us in this series titled Knowing Jesus. We are still in the Sermon on the Mount. We're in part 8 of that. We're going to be in chapter 6 of Matthew today. We have just finished up this past teaching was from Matthew chapter 5. Past few teachings have been from Matthew chapter 5. And we've gone through where Jesus has described the righteousness of the kingdom, with him placing a real emphasis on the internal righteousness of our heart, or the disposition of our heart, not just the external conduct we live out, but who we are on the inside. And this internal righteousness of the heart he's talking about impacts our effectiveness of being salt and light in this world, of being kingdom influencers, just as Jesus calls us to be when he tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, where we read, he says, to let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And here Jesus is just saying, you know, we're called to live out this righteousness, to have this internal righteousness that affects our lifestyle, how we live. And we're called to live and to do these good works and let our light shine before others so they might, that others may glorify our Father in heaven. Now we're going to pick up in chapter 6. Where Jesus just finishes that in Matthew 5, in chapter 6, verse 1, I'll read that here. It says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people, in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Wait a minute. We just finished chapter 5 where Jesus says, make sure you should let your light shine and do your good works before men so they could give glory to our Father in heaven. And here he transitions into chapter 6, where he says, beware of practicing your righteousness before people to be seen by them. And if you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So which one is it? You know, which one is Jesus wanting us to do? Well, let's look at chapter 6, verse 2 through 18. And we're going to actually go through 2 through 23 today. But let's look at that and see what Jesus is getting at. Which one is it? Is it either one of those or is it both? You know, see, Jesus lived out both of those. He lived out a life of expressing the life of the kingdom in a lifestyle that was seen before men that they might glorify God. But he also lived his secret life before the Father also. Let's pick up in Matthew chapter 6, verse 2 through 18 and read through that. And I'll share some thoughts with you. Matthew 6, verse 2 through 18, here's Jesus talking. He says, "Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Wow. So we have Jesus in Matthew 5, as I said, emphasizing a lifestyle of righteousness that is meant to be lived out before men so others can see and glorify God. And then here in chapter 6, he moves to talking about these activities of righteousness that are to be done before our Heavenly Father in secret. So what are these activities Jesus is mentioning here? And what can we characterize them as? Well, if in verse 1 through 4, he talks about giving. And in 5 through 13, he talks about prayer. And in 6 through 18, he talks about fasting. And so there's these three activities that he focuses on. And they can be characterized as spiritual disciplines or the devotions we do. There's a variety of other spiritual disciplines. These are three Jesus lists here. And Jesus repeats when he talks about them, he repeats the word when 6 times with regard to these activities. He says, when you do these. So the thing is, when he says when, what assumption is made with that word when as in contrast to the word if? Well, if is there's a question about whether you're going to do it or not. But when Jesus says when, there's an assumption here. With the word when, there's an assumption that these disciplines, these activities, are something we will be doing. Those in the crowd knew what these activities were, and they would have been doing them. They would have been part of the lifestyle, part of the practices, the activities that the Jewish people would have been engaged with as their faith in God. And they understood them. And it's for us, too. These are God-ordained and are assumed by Jesus to be a part of the lifestyle of those who are listening and really those who have embraced and submitted to Christ in his kingdom rule. That would be us. If we're his disciples, it's assumed that we would be doing these. We would be giving into the needy. We would be praying. We would be fasting. And even I would even include with the word praying when he talks about forgiving. He focuses on that. See, they were a part of Jesus' life. And these are what kept Jesus deeply connected and in tune with his Heavenly Father and the kingdom. So back in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus addresses how the law was distorted and misused and misrepresented. We talked about that. Like he would say, Jesus said to the crowd, you've heard it been said. And he talked about a specific law and how it was being portrayed by the religious leaders. And Jesus said, but I say to you, this is what God's intent was. And it's not just the external, but the internal, the disposition of your heart and how you respond to these things. And he was really addressing how the law had been distorted and misused and misrepresented. And here in Matthew 6, Jesus groups these three God-ordained activities, giving, praying, and fasting. And he groups them together and he uses this word that we hear thrown around often, the word hypocrite. And he addresses how these God-ordained activities, these disciplines, have been distorted, misrepresented, and were being used in ways never intended to be used in that day for those there. And so what's this word hypocrite? He uses the word hypocrite a few times here, but Jesus uses it to make a point. So these three together are grouped as one idea, all of using the word hypocrite to describe what was being misrepresented there. And then also he talks about the reward about doing it before our Father. So what does the word hypocrite mean when you think of the word hypocrite? How does these activities, how did they become distorted? What were they being used for in Jesus' day? And even today, we're going to see it's relevant for today. Well, hypocrite, it means an actor, a stage player. I mean, another definition I found was a religious counterfeit who conceals his true self and his true motives under a mask of make-believe, giving this image of who he wants others to perceive him, but that's not his true self. It really looks like the same thing about the law and misrepresentation of law when we talk about in chapter 5. Here it's these activities, these disciplines, these God-ordained activities that keep us connected with our Father. Well, see, the social and religious culture of the day then had become really all about appearance of success, of having this status and having title, having power, having a place of honor, and really security before men. And they were used to developed this pecking order of people in this culture and religious culture and social culture. See, these activities became part of the means to establish their status, or for others to establish it for you in your position before men. And all the while, it would be cutting off and quenching the flow and the power and the grace of the kingdom that's supposed to bring the transformation these activities are meant for. See, these activities or the social status that resulted from these activities had become the goal, and turned these activities into what they would be, earthly positioners, how to position oneself within the social order of the time there among people, instead of these activities being kingdom positioners, where we position our heart before God, the posture of who we are and understand ourselves to be before our Father. And Jesus is warning that we must not allow these means of grace, these kingdom positioners, to be reduced to just some religious mechanical activities, and in turn miss out on an audience with the Father. See, if we it just becomes about establishing our position before men and getting that reward, that's earthly reward, we're going to miss out on the reality that we have an opportunity to have audience with the Father and gain a reward from Him that brings true life and eternal internal transformation to our heart. We miss out on the opportunity of having them be kingdom positioners, where we experience the life of our Father as we position ourselves humbly before Him. And so we don't have a devotional life and invest in these activities to earn free grace or God's favor or to get in the kingdom, but there is a purpose for these activities. Now, as we gone through the Sermon on the Mount, we see Jesus has been emphasizing the disposition of our hearts and who we really are. So what is the real purpose of these activities Jesus is bringing their attention and our attention to? Talk about the misuse of the law, the misunderstanding, misrepresentation. Now he's talking about the misrepresentation and the misuse and the abuse of these kingdom positioners to be used for your own status within a group or within a social order. And he was addressing that. So what is their real purpose? Real purpose. See, this is about rightly positioning or posturing our hearts before our Heavenly Father, enabling us to connect deeply with Him so we can receive grace and be transformed in the core of who we are. Even the very first Beatitude, blessed are the poor in heart, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So here it is, we recognize who we are when we are posturing our heart in a way, recognizing God as who He is and who we are in our inept ability to keep God's requirements and needing Him. In James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, but He, meaning God, gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And here I'm talking about rightly positioning ourselves. Jesus is talking about the purpose of these divine activities is to position ourselves and posture our hearts before our Heavenly Father, which in turn would just connect us deeply to Him. What Jesus was bringing was not just another set of do's and don'ts. He was bringing eternal life. He was giving us the opportunity to connect relationally with the Father. And as we do this, we posture our heart, we receive grace from Him and be transformed in the core of who we are. I mean, what's grace? You've probably heard it been said. It's unmerited favor. It's the blessings of God that He gives us that we don't deserve it at the expense of Jesus' life. Look at it this way. It's divine empowerment, where God infuses in you the ability and courage to do certain things that you couldn't do before or wouldn't want to do. It's also, I see it as is the divine influence upon our soul that brings this internal and eternal change in who we are. I remember that before I became a Christian, before I became a follower of Jesus, I was opposed to Christianity, opposed to having anything to do with Christianity. And then there was a moment, I see it as grace. It was this divine influence in my soul, in my heart, to all of a sudden want to find out more and discover That was divine influence. And it happens, it comes initially in our salvation time, but through our life, there's this divine influence upon our heart. And part of the connecting, but part of these positioners, these divine activities, God-ordained activities of giving, of fasting and praying, position us in a place that we interact and connect deeply with God, and His grace affects us. We become submissive in surrendering to that work in our life. And this is where we're transformed, and our hearts really are, they're enlarged and with the capacity to experience the life of God and actually to live out and to walk out the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus talks about the lifestyle of those that are His disciples. Now, I'm going to quote something. I had this written down, and I know I got it somewhere. I can't remember who, but I know it's not from me. It's just something I've had as a note, and I want to share it now. And so I'm sorry I don't have the one who I got this from. But here is the quote. It says, "These activities here, the divine activities that Jesus talks about here, they're voluntary and are where we take our natural resources and strengths. Things like our time, our money, our energy, our reputation, our rights, our ambitions and talents. And we make a choice not to use those for ourselves or for our own advantage to increase our personal comfort, our personal wealth, or honor, or status, or position, or power, or control. And instead, we take them and we invest them in Christ and His kingdom and His kingdom purposes." And that's what these activities are. They do. We take all those things that are naturally ours, and we go to God. We position ourselves before Him, and we say, "These are yours," and we surrender our life and all of them to Him and what His purposes are, instead of using them for ourselves. And what happens, this transforms us and enables us and empowers us to live out of God's kingdom resources in His glory, not our own resources or for our own glory. And we also have to remember the power of this transformation and the empowerment that comes in that deep connection is not because of our flesh or any fleshly activity, like it earns us something or a place from God. It's how we position ourselves before God. It's about that secret place of our heart and being in the presence and an activity of the Holy Spirit and surrendering to that work in our life. But it's all God. It's all the work of the Holy Spirit. But these activities, these God-ordained activities, position us before God, posture our hearts before Him. So is it wrong to do these activities? Jesus is talking about don't do them before men. Are we ever to be able to do those things before men? Did Jesus do them before men? Yes, He did. It's really a matter of the heart. And why? The motive. Why are you doing them before men? Is it driven out of love for God and out of the sake of being His? Or is it to gain something for ourselves? It's really about the motive. Jesus did it. And when He did it, one time He prayed, He talked about, "I know you hear me, Father," right? "So I pray this way in front of them so they know." So they see you and they see your activity. And so when we do pray, it's okay to pray in front of others with the right heart and right motive, with the purpose of actually seeing God move and change people's lives and they encounter the Father. So those activities are okay as long as the motive is right. But another question for you to consider is, have we let these activities, these God-ordained activities, become something other than heart positioners before our Father? We all know our own heart, why we're doing things and what we're doing. And I pray that God would help us see where we've let these activities become something other than what they were supposed to be. And that we bring them back to the real heart of the issue, that we position and posture our hearts before the Father. Let's go to Matthew 6, 19 through 21. This, as Jesus talks about these three activities, He finishes talking about getting a reward from the Father and doing them in secret, don't do them before people. And so, and then He then says this here in verse 19 through 21. He says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the question is, well, so what are the two contrasting treasures that Jesus is presenting here? Treasures on earth or treasures in heaven? But what are they really, what is he talking about? If you go back to what we just looked at, he's talking about these two different treasures. There's the treasure that people hold to of their position and their status before men and earthly kingdoms, and the life that it gives us contrasts with our position and status before our Heavenly Father and His kingdom and the life He gives us. Two different treasures: earthly treasures, kingdom, heavenly treasures. Positions and status before men and the reward that they get, you get out of those, which is really nothing, compared to the position and status before our Heavenly Father as His children and Him as our Father, and the life and the reward that He gives us that comes out of that status and that position with Him. How and why we do these activities, just remember that how we do these and why we do these activities really is indicative of where our treasure is, where our hearts are at, and how much we value and treasure our relationship with God our Father and His kingdom. So with that, even back to the question, where are we at with these activities? Where is our heart at and with these heart positioners? What are we truly valuing? What are we treasuring? Luke 6:38, I want to read from. And Jesus says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Remember, with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. If your treasure is in human positioning, that is all you will get. If it's in kingdom positioning, that is what you'll get. The Father honors how much we value and treasure our relationship with Him, and He will give back accordingly. With the measure we use, it'll be measured back. But even more so, not just the equal measure. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, which I just read, it's good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will He put back in our lap. So does what we treasure in our hearts really matter? Yes, of course they do. Jesus is talking about this heart issue. And He knows the things that we treasure have a huge impact. And we have to understand that. And He's talking about these activities and then bringing us to this verse about, you know, do not lay up for yourself treasure on earth, but in heaven. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So He knows the things we treasure in our heart really matter. And why is that important? Luke 6:45. And Jesus says the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Here Jesus is talking about our hearts again. Here He's talking about the treasure we have in our heart, whether it's good or bad, good or evil, what we value there and what we place our treasure in and what we put our heart into affects our heart. And out of our heart, our mouth speaks and our life acts. Proverbs 4:23. The writer here says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Yes, what we treasure in our heart does matter. It makes a huge difference on what our life is like. See, the kingdom is more than just an external code. We're seeing Jesus. He's not focused just on an external code of conduct. It's holistic. It's writing a new code on our heart as part of It's a part of him making us a new creation. See, Jesus always presses us into a crisis of decision where we're going to have to make that decision. And in Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21, where he says, lay up for yourself treasures on earth, or do not lay up treasure on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He's trying to get them that are listening. There's a decision to be made here. It's either one or the other. There's no middle ground. He's saying that to us too. And that decision of what your treasure is for yourself will determine the quality of your present life and your future destiny. And that decision will involve an ongoing battle against any hindrance or obstacle that aims to cause us to place our treasures in earthly stuff rather than kingdom stuff. That's an ongoing battle as a follower of Jesus. You know, using these activities as they were doing to establish status and position within their social and religious culture, it's no different than today. Within the religious culture of our day in America, these activities can be seen and misused in the same way. And so we can make a decision to follow Jesus and engage in these activities of prayer and fasting and giving, but there's always going to be these hindrances, obstacles coming our way, but from the enemy who is going to try to cause us to place our treasure on earthly stuff rather than kingdom stuff, so it affects our heart and our life. So there's a decision to be made, and Jesus is pressing them and us, what will be the treasure of your heart? Something very much to consider. Now, because the cost of this decision, the cost of a bad decision here, or of wavering, or never even making a distinct yes or no, the cost is very high. And Jesus goes on into verse 22 and 23. We want to read that in Matthew 6, where Jesus warns. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. And if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? If, he uses this word if, there's a choice to be made here. And if we waver and we never say a distinct yes or no to what we treasure, God will not, notice, God will not love us less. But if we waver or never say a distinct yes or no, we're going to encounter those hindrances and obstacles. And we're going to waver in our decision. And our treasure will become something of this earthly stuff. And if that's the case, we will suffer loss in the form of darkness that starts to invade our life. And we will find the life and the energy of the kingdom being drained right out of us. Or it will become diluted, the life of the kingdom. Or worse yet, that life will become polluted. So Jesus makes these statements about these activities and what they have become and what they've been used for and hypocrisy behind them. And he's calling them and then us to don't let them become earthly positioners, but to let them become a kingdom position where we position and posture our heart rightly before our Father that we might gain and experience the life he intended for us. And that grace may come and transform us and enlarge us to live, be able to live the life of the kingdom in this age. And he's saying, what's the treasure of your heart? Because it matters. Are you going to treasure the earthly things and the earthly status over kingdom things and kingdom status? He says, if so, if you're indecisive here, if you make the wrong decision here, he says you're going to either have a healthy eye or a bad eye or an unhealthy eye. And in the result, if you make the wrong decision, if you don't have this distinct yes and no and hold to that, and he says, we'll end up having darkness. The light will be darkness in us. And we'll find the life of the kingdom drained right out of us it being diluted, or worse yet, being polluted. So the challenge here is back to verse 19 through 21, or verse 21 of Matthew 6, when it comes down to the activities, what will be the treasure of your heart? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And as we find, Jesus is emphasizing the heart and the connection that we have deep within in secret with our Father. Well, I pray that you will experience the Holy Spirit working in your heart in such a way that you can decipher what are the treasures of your heart and what are the hindrances and obstacles you've allowed to be in that place that keep us from keeping, that having the kingdom being our treasure, what we truly value. And in turn, that He would pour out grace as you posture and position your heart before the Father. He would pour out grace to transform you and enable you and influence you to draw closer to Him and position your heart properly before Him so that your life might be filled with His life. Go in peace this week.